This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
That was High and Dry by MXM Tune. You're listening to James, Brendan and Trisha on Get Serial. We've got the boys Harvard and Edvard Christie. They're from Hang On To Your Hangers, which is a new film, a comedy drama made by independent filmmakers, premiering at the Hamilton Cinema on the 24th of August at 6 o'clock, the 26th of August at 11, and the 1st of September at 6. They're with us, and the film has led character Douglas Huffle, eager to forge his reputation in crime, manipulating a bottle shop robbery by planting his own money inside the store. Instead, the very aspects of crime he fervently avoided begin to catch up with him. Boys, how are we?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show. Can you just tell us about how you guys got into filmmaking? Obviously, your brothers, there's a bit of maybe sibling rivalry, a bit of misfits, a bit of fighting.
The way we got into filmmaking was that we both always liked films and the storytelling aspects of filmmaking, and we both value very similar things in film, so it just made a lot of sense for us to make them together and then eventually lead to making a feature film.
Yeah, it was something I don't think we realised we wanted to do until we were both, well, I was in about year 11 or something like that, and then I actually got a camera that I said, wow, this is way better than anything I've ever used before, and it's... I've got way better stuff now, but it's, it was a really good start into what was actually possible. I'm really impressed by that.
Fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit more about the film that you guys have put together, Hang On To Your Hangers On, which is a great tongue twister there. Absolutely love it. What was your inspirations, and what do we see in the final product?
I think our inspiration was... a film mainly that's called Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. It's really one of our favourite films. Unfortunately, that's a very different film to the one we made. but that was definitely a source of inspiration for us. And we just we really liked the idea of some guy who wanted to be perceived as a criminal but actually not go through with any criminal activity, sort of get the reputation but, you know, not go to jail for any reason. So that really appealed to us.
Just attracted to the concept of looking like a criminal. Is that's the lead character? Wow.
The comedy comes, you always start with something that's dramatic and then the comedy comes to it eventually, and that's the way we've always worked.
Yeah, and you mentioned that there's this crossover between comedy and drama. So what's it like working on the edge of those two sort of genres? Is it something you enjoy? Does it challenge you?
It's something we really enjoy. We like not being restrained by genre. Yeah. So we like comedy, but we also don't want it to be too silly or too outlandish. So you reel it back with drama. But we mainly just don't want to be in one particular genre, we want to break down and make our own film. So, yeah.
That's where the best films happen, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So the film was filmed in your hometown and the premiere's in your hometown. Was that something intentional, it was your first feature film? Did you want it to be close to home, or is just the way it happened?
No, it was very intentional. Making a feature film is pretty tough, and you need a lot of resources to get it done. Mm. And it was a really small community that was really behind us, basically 100%. And we used a lot of local actors. We used about 50 local actors.
Wow.
Yeah, in various capacities, you know. waiter one, you know, waiter two. That's
tree one.
Yeah, that's right. It's the case of, you know, if you need a location, you can actually get one. And if you want to go from one location to another, you're doing it in 5 minutes instead of an hour at a time.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And working in a small town environment like that, was it great to see the local creative talent sort of come to the fore? Was there a real close-knit sort of community around the actual filmmaking?
Absolutely. Yeah, you find that when you actually put the cards on the table and say we're filmmakers, people just come to you with things. They say, well, if you need this, I can help you with that. And yeah, no, it was great. I think it made the whole experience very unique that we were not actually outsourcing a lot of people. They were coming to us. And a lot of people who had no real experience in filmmaking were learning on the job, more or less. So that was great.
That's brilliant.
And what was the most fun making the film?
Yeah, most fun scene, I guess.
There was one time when we started filming about 5:30 p.m. At night, and we only had one night with this actor and one night with a vehicle. We went to bed at about 7 a.m. that next morning. We'd spent basically all night working on that scene with our actors, and our lead actor's a dentist, and he had to be up at 6 o'clock, and we let him go home at about 2 or 3 in the morning, unfortunately. So you try and avoid that sometimes, but unfortunately you got to do it sometimes like that.
Wow.
So you mentioned like the movies that you have some like influence off, but in cases of directors and styles of work, where do you really get your influence, or where did you look for your inspirations for your movies?
Well, our obviously Guy Ritchie, when he made Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch, those two films really inspired us tremendously. I think one of our favourite directors currently is a guy called Billy Wilder, who made a lot of films back in the 40s. And, we just take inspiration from wherever it comes from, you know, people who make films a long time ago or currently, whatever it is. If we look at something and enjoy it, then that's what it is.
Brilliant. And for our Melbourne listeners, most of them, we assume, is there any chance we can catch this film somewhere in Melbourne? I know you've got the premiere down in Hamilton.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. It's a case of we're going to see how this premiere goes. We actually have three screenings we really hope to do well with, and then we're going to try and expand it to different places and maybe get a production company attached. So that's the long-term plan.
Brilliant. So where can we keep up with that? Social media page or
Absolutely,
something?
Absolutely, yeah. So the production company we run ourselves is called Hey Mary Productions. That's with H-E-I. We've got a website through the same name, and that's the best place to keep up
with
it.
Best place to keep up.
Yeah, so if you want a DVD, just let us know.
For sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming in for the interview today. Are you happy to stick around for one of our regular segments, Clickbait Frenzy, after the break?
Absolutely.
Brilliant. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan, and the boys from Hang On To Your Hangers On as well. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan, and we're still joined in the studio by the creators of Hang On To Your Hangers On, Hanger-Ons rather. Oh, such a tongue twister, I love it. It's brilliant. They are Harvard and Ed Christie. Thanks for sticking around, boys.
No worries.
Now, we were talking off air about some of the interesting locations that you filmed in. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, Hamilton's recently revitalised their Safeway car park, and
they still call it Safeway.
That's right. Yeah. I guess we really are from the country, but there's that's where we spent a tremendous amount of time filming scenes for the film. The actual bottle shop that this guy goes to a lot of the time is attached to the Safeway.
So the little bottle over there, you spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, we did, and in and around it, and we were there at 2 a.m. most of the time. But the couple of bakers, I think, were normally in the car park around that time, and they knew us pretty well by the end of it.
Yeah, and did you ever have customers sort of seeing what you were doing and ask questions?
Yeah, we had one time where we were in the BWS with what's called a shotgun mic, and someone walked in who'd never seen film equipment in his life and said, "Oh, I thought you were holding a gun and you were robbing stuff." Nah.
Oh, that's priceless. And you also spent some time in the local newspaper.
That's right, yeah. When you're trying to get a police station, it's important to try to get the help of the police, but a lot of the times, you know, they're using it for police stuff. So we were happy to be able to use a newspaper publishing office to mimic that.
That's brilliant.
I was just wondering, how long did it actually take to film the film?
We were shooting for about 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
But to this point, it's been about, I think, 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah,
something
definitely.
Like that.
Yeah, editing and all that take forever.
Yeah. Mm.
All right, well, if you're keen to do so, we're hoping that you could play one of our favourite segments here with us, Clickbait Frenzy. Are you happy to give it a crack?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
clickbait frenzy.
So for the uninitiated, clickbait frenzy is all about my love of clickbait. I really do love clickbait, but I never read the articles. a waste of time. I just enjoy reading the headlines and then trying to work out the most ridiculous story that relates to the said headlines. So we're going to go around the table here and see what the best stories we can get off a few rather bizarre clickbait headlines are. We will start with this one, which I think is quite an open-ended one, so take this where you will. The Simpson writers have confessed how they predict the future in their show. What do we reckon? How do they do it?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. They actually call Trey Parker and Matt Stone from South Park and say, what's going to happen in the future?
The cartoons just work together, don't they? That's brilliant. I reckon they're aliens from the future.
Right. The writers are aliens.
Yeah, Matt Groening is an alien.
Just putting it out there.
I just think they ask an eight ball and shake it and see what the answer is.
The magic meatball.
Well, I go down the path of, I think they create the future. I think it's more like whatever they say comes to pass. They are the visionaries. But no, the truth is that they guess. Surprise, surprise. They guess and it just
but
so happens.
They're so accurate. Yeah. So many things.
The Donald Trump one being that president, that is priceless. That is unbelievable. All right, we'll jump into another one. Turns out there's an animal that great white sharks are absolutely terrified of. What have you got for us, boys?
Yeah, well, the report's in. It's humans. they've been swimming around them, near them. They pose a great threat.
That's right. Humans are the greatest killer of sharks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as a young kid, I was scared of plankton off SpongeBob. So I'm pretty sure sharks are also scared of him.
SpongeBob characters. I've been watching too much TV.
Yeah, we named all the cartoons this morning. We just got South Park, Simpsons, and yeah, SpongeBob. So.
Well, I was going to say Nemo. I feel like I'm just copying now, but no, I think Nemo.
Yeah, love that film. I reckon, I don't know, dogs are pretty weird, right? And when they swim, they're particularly weird. I reckon for sharks, you'd be like, what the hell are these little legs flicking back and forth in front of me?
And the tail's weird.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be weird. No, they're afraid of orcas, you know, the big whales.
Are the ones with the horns?
No, you're thinking of a narwhal. Which, by the way, are a meme in themselves. Love me a good narwhal. All right, we got one to go. Firefighters rescue litter of puppies from a storm drain to learn they're not puppies at all.
Yeah, they're definitely not puppies.
Yeah, I think they were actually the residents from the burning building that they were.
Very young. Yeah. Got anything else for us?
No, I think that pretty much said
nothing's going to beat that.
We'll stick with the cartoon themes. And they're just a billion cat dogs.
What an iconic show from the childhood, right?
Okay, no.
Little cat dogs. They just didn't look at the other end of them.
Exactly.
Trisha's looking sideways at this. She's very confused.
No.
She's looking at the image, which is of something that looks vaguely
looks
like a puppy.
Ferret, and I used to have ferrets, but it's... It's not the colour of ferrets, yeah.
Wait, that's a story and a half.
Yeah,
we'll come back to that another time.
But it's like a black and white ferret.
A black and white ferret.
Yeah. Collingwood ferret.
Yeah. I reckon it's... Look, I think it should be rats. I mean, it's down a storm drain. They just got a whole bunch of rats. But no, the truth is, it was a bunch of baby foxes. This one is actually pretty weird. What are baby foxes doing in the storm drain?
So you actually got reeled in by the title, did you?
Yeah, for once it was actually, it led to something, right?
Nice.
Thank you so much for playing along with us in the studio today, boys. Do you want to give one more plug for the film? So where can we find Hang On To Your Hangers-On?
Yeah, I mean, if you're Melbourne-based, the best place is the website. So that's heymaryproductions.weebly.com. I'm sure you can find it from there.
And Mary Productions is spelled how again, sorry?
H-E-I. We were born in Norway, and that's the way to say hey in Norwegian. It's pretty similar, but yeah.
No worries. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and being such good sports with our segment. And we look forward to seeing the film soon.
Thank you for having us.
No worries at all. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. We've got I Belong Here by Setmo and Woods coming up next. Enjoy.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.